and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial service family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 319, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order with my family. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. In the present and in the future as well. Today we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 26. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the earlier prayer meeting we had today. Holy Father God, I thank you for your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And so, Lord, I pray in faith, believing. I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Lord, I pray that you would grant us your energy and your strength, your mind, your unction, and your anointing, your freedom, of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word, to hide it in our hearts, to always remember it, to meditate on it, to obey it, to live by it, and to apply it to our own lives. And then, Lord, fix us in such a way that we can teach it to others in a discipleship way and preach your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, at 1 Samuel chapter 26. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doeth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with thee." And Abishai said, "I will go down with thee." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. And let us go." So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doeth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doeth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we can learn from it. And we also thank you for how beautiful it is. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to remember it, help us to meditate on it, help us to understand it and to comprehend it, and to apply it to our own lives, and then to share it with others in a discipleship way and in a gospel preaching way for your glory, praise, and others, for your glory, praise, and honor, so that others may come to know you as Savior and Christians would be encouraged to fight another day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, family, friends, and foes, and the standing between the living and the dead service, family members worldwide. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. A nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Today with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode, if you will, number 72. Scripture passage for today is Psalm 9:3. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. For those of us who are truly saved, fill us all with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit to receive this and to understand this. For those who are not truly saved, we pray that you would truly save them. We pray that they would trust you as Savior and get saved today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And Dr. Spurgeon goes on to say, based upon this passage, God's presence is ever more sufficient to work the defeat of our most furious foes, and their ruin is so complete when the Lord takes them in hand that even flight cannot save them. They fall to rise no more when he pursues them. We must be careful, like David, to give all the glory to him whose presence gives the victory. If we have here the exaltings of our conquering captain, let us make the triumphs of the Redeemer, the triumphs of the redeemed, and rejoice with him at the total discomfiture of all his foes. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you that your presence is enough to defeat our enemies and to give us victory. Help us to be careful to give you all of the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and the standing between the living and the dead service family members. As always, in over 500 plus services, we read what I call the family verses. And may I lovingly say to you, the Word of God is so powerful and so deep and rich and important that it is not a book that you can just read one time and think you have it down. One of the reasons is because, as Jesus Christ taught us, the devil, our enemy, will fight us on this point and try to snatch the Word of God out of our sinful minds or distract us from the Word of God. So the truth of the matter is you cannot read the Word of God enough. You cannot pray enough when you're dealing with the devil. So every day, the Word of God can be and will be fresh to you if you're saved. And those bugaboo areas of our lives, for we all have our weights and our sins that so easily besets us, we need to read strong in those areas. And obviously, the family part of life is an area that we need to read strong in the church especially, of course. And we need to take heed to it as well. I heard a man this morning, I believe he's some kind of counselor. He was counseling a young woman who was basically saying that she could not submit to a man or would not submit to a man. And he said, well, that's why you're single. You're sassy and you're single. And then he said, let me ask you a question. Where do you work at? And she said, I am a bus operator. Which, you know, he's the kind of person who would say right back, you mean a bus driver? So you're a bus driver, okay. And then he asked her, now do you just get on that bus and speed and drive erratically and drive on the sidewalk and hit people and everything just because, you know, you're a bus operator? And she said, oh, no, of course not. So he said, and I'm going to use his words, so he said to her, so now, as long as the white man's check is coming to you, you will be obedient to the laws and do what they tell you. Isn't that right? She fell out laughing at her foolishness when he said that. And at the silliness of what she's talking about. And he said, as long as that white man's check is paying you, you will obey what he tells you to do. But you won't obey and submit to your black husband. Yeah. You just want to give him a piece of your mind and twist your neck up and all of that, but you don't talk back to anybody else like that. So what's up with that? Now, I have never heard this man before, and I've never seen this man before, but I've been saying that he was talking from a secular standpoint because he was cussing and everything else. But I've been telling folks this for the past 41 years. Don't tell me you can't control yourself and you can't submit and you can't be quiet and be obedient and do what you're supposed to do to make things work. You can. Women, under the husband that you have. And so I am thankful to the Lord that God has raised up other people besides myself over the years, who are sick and tired and fed up with all of these lies. Because then she said, oh, it's just hard. It's just hard. He said, no, it's not hard. It's not hard at all. It's not hard for you to drive that bus correctly, is it? Because, you know, you get a paycheck on Friday. It's not hard, is it? Well, it's not hard to be a good, faithful, obedient, submissive wife and do what God has told you to do. And like I said, he's coming from a secular standpoint. I don't even know if he's saved. I hope he is. And but it sounds like he knows something about the Lord. And on we can go. Today, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, women and men, I should stop calling you all ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have many ladies and we don't have many gentlemen in our society today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 32. We have read the three verses dealing with the wife. And now we come to what God has to say to the husbands. Husbands, God says in his word, husbands, love your wives. Notice that God does not get into why and wherefores and therefores and so forth. This is something that he wants you to do, and it ought to be something that you ought to want to do. He assumes you understand this right from the get-go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Loving your wife is not only going on date night and buying her nice things. Loving your wife is also helping her to become a better human being. You took her up, hopefully, from her parents. And there are things that God wants you to do to help her to become a better person. That's love, too, ladies and gentlemen. Wild men and crazy women. That's love, too, man. Woman. See, you're really not doing your job if you're not doing the hard work of correcting your wife when it's time to correct her and help her with deep-seated sin issues, pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness. For example, if your wife is not humble enough to say thank you when you do something for her, you need to help her understand that that needs to be done from the get-go. Do you hear me? See, because those are the little things that start building up. She doesn't say thank you when you give her something. If you open the door for her, I don't do that. Women are not helpless. I don't do that. I've never done that. But if you want to do that because you read somebody's book who told you to do that, you go ahead. But she needs to say thank you to you. When you open the door for her, she ought to say thank you. If somehow she's so bad and so arrogant and so proud and thank you just and taking you for granted like that, you need to teach her to say thank you. Or you let her get her own door. You understand? See, you need to help her with that kind of thing. Because maybe she does not know. She has never been taught. She was raised by wolves, wherever she came from. By animals themselves. And it's your job, under God, to teach her to be polite. That's the stuff that greases the wheels of the marriage and the family so there are no wild sounds and squeaks. Little things like that. Okay? I hope that you have such a wonderful together marriage and family that you can buy yourself something that you like, which she has never mentioned that she likes, and she could have asked for it herself if she and to get it, or she could have bought it for herself, but she lets you buy some cashews that you love so much, a certain kind, and instead of asking for a can of cashews or a bottle of cashews or buying the cashews for herself, she just wants to steal and nibble on yours without letting you know anything, and it's always while you're gone, while you're not in the room. Now, I hope that you have a wonderful, loving, great relationship with your wife. That's cool, okay? But if you all don't have it like that, and you expect those cashews to be there when you sit down to watch the news in the evening and they're gone because a little thieving rat has taken them, and then act like they didn't, that's a problem. That's a problem. And you got to correct that. Because, see, it's the little things that build up that cause people to get to the point where they want to kill somebody and commit suicide and take the whole family with them and all that kind of thing. See, sad to say, it has happened in many homes, and even some who claim to be Christian. So you nip those things in the bud early on in the marriage and the family, and if it persists, you keep on doing that. That's love too, because some people don't change overnight. All I'm saying is, it is your job to love your wife enough to correct her when she's wrong and not cause problems for you. You don't need a wife causing problems for you when you have bought yourself something that you like, and then when you want to dig into it while you're watching the game, it's gone. You got to get up and go and get something else. Go and get what you need to get. Because she does not have the decency to ask for what she wants. She'd rather just steal. And listen to me. There are people who would rather steal somebody else's stuff than to buy their own. And there are some wives who do this. And there are children who do this. They get an St. Augustine thrill out of just stealing what does not belong to them. And as long as you don't say anything, they're going to keep on stealing it. And lying and saying, well, because he's my husband, I can take it. No, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. And I believe Jesus touched on that, children who steal from their parents and say, oh, well, that's my parents, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's not okay. The devil told you that. Just because we family, we're family, so it's okay for me to steal his cashews and his nuts and his raisins. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, we don't have it like that now. If you, but see, here's how people are. You get something, they want it. That's how that is. That's just, I don't know, it's just sinful human nature. You think of something, and you get it, and automatically they zoom in on it themselves. They want it too. They never thought of it in their lives. But when you get it, they want it. Now, here's the thing. When you ask them, you know, okay, if you want some, why don't you get some? No, they don't want to do that. They want to steal yours. They want to nibble on yours. See, the devil is a lie. And that's right. That sounds so small. Yes, it may sound small, but it can become big after a while. After a while. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let me tell you, husband, something. Being a husband is not all about pleasure and fun and all of that, like you Americans think. Being a husband is a job. You have taken on a wife who is just as sinful as you, has blind spots and weak spots just like you, and God has delegated his authority over her to you, and he's not going to do your job. You've got to do your job. And if she's a tough nut to crack, you got to stay in there and until you crack it, and help her to understand that she needs to be a helpmeet, not a hellmeet. And God has given you the authority to do that. And no, ladies and gentlemen, wild men and wild women, crazy women, no, she cannot have her way, sir, in your house. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches that. Now, in the American way of life, that's how it is. But that's not in God's economy. If you want to be single and have your way, be single. Go ahead, stay single. Go on your way. And do what you want to do. But as long as you're in my house, you need to do what I want you to do. So a man to love their wives as their own bodies, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. But let me just say this again, in case you don't understand, gentlemen, men. When God tells you to love your wife, he wants you to do that. But he does not want you to be a punk. He does not want you to be a weak back man who lets his wife run all over him. Because he knows, and you ought to know, and I know, that that is not love. And the truth of the matter is, there's not a woman on earth who really wants that. Now, she will act like it. She'll talk like it. She will move her head from side to side like an Egyptian woman and talk back and wave her little fingers and provoke and have a nasty attitude and try to control you through sex. Well, one smart lady said, she said some older ladies tried to tell her, now the way you control your man is through sex. You don't give him any if he does not do what you want him to do. And she looked at the old lady and said, ma'am, you punishing both of us. If I were to follow your advice, I don't want to be punished. I want to have sex with my husband. I said, go ahead, young lady, you told the truth. You got me trying to punish my husband. I'm being punished myself, and that's why we have so much divorce, because the old women who have done that to their husbands have passed that demonic device on to younger women, and that's how so many men have been beat down to nothing. they have been what we used to call back in the day pussy whipped. Excuse the language. But that's what has happened to so many men. They have been controlled and dominated. They know how much you want their body. They know how much you want to have sex with them. They know the reaction, all of the reactions you have from doing that, and the release you get from that, and the excitement you get about that. And so they say, you don't submit to me. These women say, if you don't submit to me and obey me and give me what I want and do what I want to do, then you won't be getting any. I heard my dad say one night, he and my mother were fighting, fussing about something, and they were going back to their room. Their room was across from mine, and they thought I was asleep. Thought everybody was asleep. It was late at night. All the lights were off except for a little light coming out of the dining room. And I heard my dad, who was a preacher at the time, my mother was a preacher at the time as well. He said, "Women, don't keep your pussy in your pocket." Now that's. Excuse the language, but that's not where it's supposed to be. Something along those lines. Okay? See, and that's what's wrong in our country today. Folks have been doing that kind of foolishness, which leads to what? Adultery, fornication, divorce, and so forth. So, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, there's something else that we do. We pray for others. So let's pray for others. You can follow me. You can pray over your own prayers. Pray as the Lord needs you. But whatever you do, pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving. All around the world, in this country, in our communities, in our churches, and in our personal lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ in this country particularly, but around the globe. Have mercy and grace upon us. And please forgive us of our wicked sins of disobeying your great commandment and your great commission. And the blood is dripping from our fingers because we have failed you. Please help us to repent and change. And Holy Father God, we also pray for people who name the name of Christ around the globe. And Lord, help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent, and to get back to you, our first love. And Lord, we pray for all people who are in government. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all people in the ministry of government in our country and around the globe. And we pray for the salvation of the lost. Revive the saved. We pray that you would cast the demons of hell out of these people and Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit and turn them to you and to your Holy Word to do things in government the way that you want things done. That you're the ruler of all things, not just the church. And Holy Father God, we pray In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would protect the persecuted, give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray now for all of the people who are hurting around the world through the death of loved ones. We pray that you'll comfort them and grab them to yourself for salvation. We pray for all of them, millions of them, but we pray also for a few by name. We pray for the family and friends of California resident Daniel Macias. We pray for the family and friends of California resident David Macias, another family hurt by the death of loved ones. We pray for the family and friends of Colorado radio host Bob Inyot. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois resident Veronica Wolski. We pray for the family and friends of Israeli resident Hai Shalian. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a relatively new prayer request. We pray, Lord, for Sister Nita, who has witnessed to a Catholic lady who she witnessed to get saved, as well as her husband and whole family, and find a good Bible-believing church to attend. We pray for Marge. Please help them to fulfill the Great Commission by bringing your word to the remaining people groups without scripture translated into their language. We pray for Carla. Please bless her with good communication and help her and her friend to trust each other. Please save her friend's soul. And Lord, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry and the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. We pray that you'll help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Yesereen. What a beautiful name. Francisca, Patricia, Belanira, and Blanca. And Lord, we pray for all of the people who have recommitted their lives to you. Help these all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Lucy, for Nitas, Azibu, and Nelson, and Amparo. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.